Blog Talk Radio.
Definitely, when you think about the fact that we already have had our first African-American president, I think this is really an era of progression in American politics, and we could set the stage for really set an example for the rest of the world. If we have our first African-American president and then immediately follow that with our first woman president, that would just be amazing.
I think it would be really interesting to have yet another legacy of, like, continuing the Clintons. Like, we've had multiple Bushes, like, having another Clinton, like, having just that continued legacy seems kind of weird. But, I mean, Hillary is an amazing woman. She's done so much. And the idea of having a woman as president is really exciting.
Dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of that cost. The cost? What? The cost? No. We do not concern ourselves with the cost. This is our freedom, damn it. Look, freedom ain't cheap, I'll give you that. But we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, you want to be a part of the program tonight? Now, I don't know when we're going to be able to take phone calls. Normally, we take phone calls in the second hour, but we do have a guest tonight. So it may be a lot longer than the second hour before we'd be able to take phone calls. But we'll just play it by ear. But when we do take phone calls, the number is 646-716-7978. And make sure you press the number 1. It gives me a little icon. Tells me that you want to talk. Otherwise, it tells me that you want to listen. And listening is okay. Listening is just fine. Also, we do have the chat room. Now, you know that I am not a chat room guy. I do look in the chat room from time to time. But I am not a real big chat room guy. I consider the chat room for you people, the audience. It's for you to chat, okay? Not for me. But it's for you. But I do look in there from time to time. And please, I'm begging you, don't give me a PM. Don't do that. Okay, I get millions of people doing that all night long, and I can't see nothing, I can't read nothing. It's too much. So don't do it. So chat amongst yourselves. I will look in the chat room from time to time. I promise I do. But just understand, the chat room is for you people. I chat with my mouth. I don't chat with the keyboard. Okay? So if you do got something you want to say, you got to give me a call. Okay, but tonight we do have a very special guest, okay? And she's got a story that she's got to get out. And it's important that you listen to her story. You've got to listen to her story. Now, hopefully we get into a point where we're able to take phone calls. And, you know, if she wants to take them. If she doesn't, then she doesn't. And that's just the way it is. Because when I bring a guest on, it's no longer my show. It's the guest show. Because it's her show. It's their show. It's their story. It's not my story. It's their story. Now, remember, if you do have a story out there where you have been tyrannized in any way, and I don't care by who, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. Doctors, lawyers, judges, cops, Walmart greeters, it doesn't matter to me. If you've got a story out there, well, you got to get it out there. Well, here's what you do. You get on Facebook. You type in the captain. It shows up news personality. Well, you send me a little message. Captain, I've been tyrannized. I got to get my story out. Well, guess what happens? Well, you climb aboard to get your story out. And I am not here to criticize you. I am not here to put you down. I am not here to judge you. Okay? I do believe in the First Amendment. If you've ever listened to this program before, you know I am a huge Bill of Rights man. Huge. I believe in the Bill of Rights. I believe in the Constitution. And every single one of the amendments, except for there's one of them, the 17th, that's got to go away. It's got to go. It's got to go. But that's a different story. That's for a different night. But the point is you have a voice, and your voice is important. And if you don't use it, it's worthless. So let your voice be heard. All right, real quick, before we get into our guests, also support my other good friends on Blog Talk Radio. From the Global Patriot Network, my good friend Vito Esposito, which is on Monday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. My first mate, Kel Fritzy, is on from 6 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday nights. Annie from Southern Sense, she also comes on my show on Friday nights. Joseph Gibson with Understanding the Times Which We Live In. His show is on Thursday nights and Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. And he also comes on my Friday night show. And, of course, my girlfriend Audrey Russo from Real Talk, which is also simulcast on Red State Radio. She's got a great show. She gets real good guests. She's a good show. Check her out. Thursday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. Look, this is where you get the news, folks. This is where you get the news. You're not going to get the news on the news. And you're certainly not going to get the news in the newspapers. It's not going to happen. Right here on Blog Talk Radio is where you get the news. Because you have real people talking about real issues. This is where the real news is. Plain and simple, period. Which means, yeah, you're going to have to turn off your television. I know. You're going to have to do it. It sucks, but you're going to have to do it. You want to find out the news? You turn on Blog Talk Radio, and there's plenty. I mean, numerous. You can't even count the amount of programs that's on Blog Talk Radio. Those are the stations that you want to listen to because we are real people talking about real issues. We are giving you the real news. Now, tonight, my very special guest, Karen Federighi. She will be on board tonight to tell her story. Now, Karen has been a registered nurse since 1981 and is a victim of forced guardianship. When her stepfather passed away, leaving her a great deal of money, her estranged sister swooped in and declared her mentally ill. Well, she went through several exams, and we've had these shows like this before. We've had these shows like this before, and these shows are very important. Because they can happen to anybody. They can happen to anybody, including you, believe it or not. Those people who think that it can't happen to them, you are the next victim. So keep that in the forefront of your mind. She went through several exams that she claims as bogus exams, and I'm probably more than likely pretty sure that they are. And as a result, well, here's what happens. The person with the most money, the most power, the most influence, they always win. Well, Karen lost. Well, you're going to hear tonight just how easy it is to be a victim based on false accusations. So we are very happy to have her on the show tonight and tell us her story. And I'm sure we can all learn something tonight. And I, for one, am looking very forward to hearing her story and looking very forward to learning a lot. So let's bring our very special guest on board here now. Let's get into some battle mode because I'm ready to go. I'm hot. I'm ready to fight. So please give a very big nautical welcome to my very special guest this evening, Karen Federighi. Karen, can you hear me? Karen, can you hear me? Let's try this again. Karen! Karen Federighi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you now. What happened?
Okay,
I don't know.
I got you off a speakerphone.
Okay, good. Do not use speakerphone. That's one thing I should have warned you. Blog Talk Radio hates speakerphones. For whatever reason, speakerphones don't work. But in any event, we've got you hooked up here. I am, first of all, thank you, Karen, for coming on tonight. It's very brave of you. Of what I've read about your story, it is very brave of you. So I'm very proud of you, and I do thank you for coming on here tonight. And that's what it takes in this country. You know, that's what it takes. People got to stand up and fight for themselves. You know what I mean? You got to stand up and fight for yourselves. It's your life. It's your voice. It's your way of life. It's you. You got to stand up and fight for you. But real quick, before we get into your story, first of all, I'd like you to just take a brief moment and explain to the audience, because I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that have never heard of forced guardianship and have no idea what it means, have no idea what it is, never heard of it. So if you could please explain a little bit to us, what exactly is forced guardianship and how easy can it be to happen to really anyone?
Well, as a registered nurse, I never heard of guardianship. I heard of power of attorney for health care, power of attorney for finances. Never knew anything about guardianship. Been a registered nurse since 1981. Worked in a variety of disciplines, including hospice, NICU, case management utilization review, home health care, just about every specialty, psychiatry, correctional nursing, the whole gamut.
Right.
And so here I am working two jobs as a registered nurse with two nationwide companies. And my stepdad passes away December 1st, leaving me money. And I'm also going to school full-time, enrolled in a network systems administration program focusing on cybersecurity, cyber forensics, because I want to help victims of identity theft. Little did I know that the biggest identity theft in the whole entire world is probate guardianship. So here I am coming down the steps of the condo I had been renting since 2011 on January 22nd, 2016, and a sheriff's officer comes along with a court-appointed attorney and a court-appointed guardian, hands me a paper saying I'm a ward of the state and I have no civil rights whatsoever, which includes no freedom of speech, strict of everything. And so it was like 3:45 on a Friday afternoon. I'm like, what in the world just happened? So I was up all night long on the computer researching what in the world just happened to me. I always thought probate court was for the dead, dealing with wills and trusts. There is a division called probate guardianship, whereby somebody who is basically incapable of making their decisions. For example, somebody on a ventilator with no brain waves.
Right.
Good case in point, the Terry Schiavo case years ago.
Right.
Somebody like that cannot make decisions on their own and needs legal help if no family members can step in. However, the probate courts have found out over the past 30 years that it's a lucrative business. When somebody dies, their estates are taxed 35%. So the courts decide, oh, we can make some more money on people. It started with people who had no brain waves on ventilators and the like, people who had diminished mental capacity, like from developmental disabilities, such as or inherited, like Down syndrome and the like.
Right.
But anyway, the American Bar Association came up like with a whole set of rules called probate guardianship rules, and those laws were designed not to protect the people of the United States. They were designed to protect the attorneys, the judges, the lawyers,
mm-hmm.
the rats of raking in the money.
The money, exactly.
It's all about the money. That's what it is. And what
you know, I hate to interrupt you here, but you've been a professional since 1981 as a registered nurse. In that time, you are a registered nurse. So I take it you're working in a hospital.
Several years, yes.
Okay.
Including, I was going to start a second-year contract at Fawcett Memorial Hospital in Port Charlotte, Florida, on January 25th of 2016. And here, 3 days before my start date, I'm stripped of everything, and no judge bothered to check to find out that I was employed not at one company but at two. Nobody checked to see that I had had complete physicals, a comprehensive drug testing, psychiatric exam, eye testing, online testing, completed CEUs, everything. Because hospitals and certainly don't want to take a chance on hiring somebody.
This is my question. Right, but this is my question. In that time that you are a professional working as a registered nurse, were there any complaints from any doctors or any nurses that were your supervisors that you were mentally unfit to do your job? Were there any complaints whatsoever as you being a professional?
Absolutely not. In fact, it's public record. Anybody can look up a nurse or a doctor to see if there's been any complaints filed on them.
If you're a registered nurse, you're working into a hospital, and if you're working in a hospital and you're a registered nurse, okay, you got to have all your faculties together. And if you don't have your faculties together, pretty sure that one of the other nurses, one of the doctors, somebody is going to say, wait a minute, this girl is, you know, her squash is messed up. She can no longer be a nurse here. There's something wrong with her. We can't have her work here. So you would think, you know what I'm saying? You would think mm-hmm. that if you were all of a sudden, you know, deemed mentally ill, and, you know, here's the thing about a mental illness. People need to understand this. And I've had several people on this program before, and they have explained it to me. And not just one person, but several people, including attorneys. And first of all, there are well over 300 different types of mental illnesses out there, and the number keeps growing. They can make anybody mentally ill. It doesn't matter who you are. They can take anything that you do, and they can say, well, that's mental illness, and they can take you away. And it doesn't matter what your age is. People think that they only do it to children or elderly people. No, they can do it to anybody. I had a guy from Alaska, a 23-year-old man, 23 years old, who was a big game, not only a big game hunter, but a big game guide. These are people that want to go out into Alaska and see those big Kodiak bears. Well, they come to him. They come to this guy. And he takes them out into the wilderness, and he shows them these big bears. Well, he had a couple of polyps up his nose. He goes into the doctor. They give him steroids. Well, part of the side effects of steroids is insomnia. Well, after he couldn't sleep for like 23 days, he goes back to the doctor. Doc, I can't sleep for 23 days. Well, they said, well, insomnia is mental illness. They took him away. They put him in a psych ward, a 23-year-old man, that they gave him the medication. He had a reaction from the medication, and they put him in there for almost a year. I think it was over a year in a psych ward, and they were just dumping him full of medications. This can happen to anybody. I mean, this is what is so sick and twisted, and people don't understand it. And what pisses me off is people think, you know, they hear these stories at home. Ah, well, that can't be. Well, it never happened to me, so it doesn't happen to anybody else. Well, that's the kind of wrong attitude that we have in this country, and it's got to change, and it's got to change now. Just because it doesn't happen to you doesn't mean that it won't happen to you, and doesn't mean that it doesn't happen to other people. This is what really bothers me. So let's start here at the beginning. I'm sorry to I do this from time to time. I never shut up. That's, you know, that's probably why I got a talk show, because I talk. But let's do this. Let's start at the very beginning. Now, your stepfather passes away and gives you a great deal of money. Now, what happened? It was your stepsister or your estranged sister that swooped in. How did that happen where she decided to say that you were like mentally ill or whatever? How did that whole thing come about? Explain that to us.
Okay, in one word summary, it's all about greed. It's greed.
Well, absolutely.
Both of my biological sisters, who I've been estranged with for decades, basically, we never saw eye to eye on certain things.
Did your stepsisters have any relationship with your stepfather, and did you have a relationship with your stepfather?
Okay, this is... I lived with him and helped take care of him in Illinois from 2008 to 2010. And during that time, I reported one of the sisters for elder abuse. I'm a mandated reporter. I'm a nurse. It doesn't matter if it's family member, friend,
right,
coworker,
exactly.
Whatever. I'm a mandated reporter. I have to look at everything objectively and
right.
I go by the book. I go by facts. I don't allow emotions to interfere with my decisions. So I
right.
reported her to the proper agencies. Well, she didn't like that. So long story short, because the two of them, you know, with their bullying, abusive behavior, and my stepdad at the time was receiving care that he needed, and I relocated to Naples, Florida, taking a contract nursing job. I moved here permanently in October 2011. Well, he dies December 1st. Unbeknownst to me, you know, I never saw my stepdad's will or trust, but I get a call that he died. The next thing I know, I'm handed a summons. I tried in vain to get the details of the will or trust because I never saw it, but I would assume everything's divided up one-third, one-third, one-third.
Right.
I didn't see the will and the trust. I didn't get a copy of it until May of this
wow.
year. Yeah, because the executor of my late stepdad's will and trust was the one sister who I had reported for elder abuse. She controls the purse strings. So basically it's out of revenge and greed, a vendetta, that she filed these papers against me. There's a
lot
of jealousy.
Well, if you are a mandated reporter, which all nurses are, doctors are,
mm-hmm.
how did she get that much power? Were the police involved when you reported her abuse?
Yes, I did make reports to the police. However, at the time, I was told that if I wanted to pursue anything, I'd have to hire a lawyer. Well, I'm single. I'm not married. I've been supporting myself.
Wait a minute. Why do you gotta hire a lawyer for a freaking crime? Somebody's abusing somebody. That's a crime. Why should you have to hire a lawyer? I mean, I'm not mad at you.
I'm mad at the system. The charges are contested, and of course, when anything is contested legally, you have to have your own legal counsel.
I find that I'm not mad at you. Don't take me wrong. I'm mad at the system. You report this woman.
You can't believe what happened. There is on file what she did to me. After I reported her for the elder abuse, she turns around while my stepdad has suffered the effects of a devastating stroke. She turns around, files for sole possession of his home. She accuses me of attempted murder for causing the stroke. So I have to take time off of work, pay court costs, pay off for missing work, have to go to she wanted a restraining order against me too. So I had to go to the domestic violence court on Harrison Street in Chicago. I show up. She doesn't, of course. And the judge had nothing on his docket in the morning at the time the hearing was scheduled. And so he took the time to read every word in these papers. And he said, "Your sister's nuts." And I said, "I know, Judge, I'm sorry, you know." And he dismissed the case. And she did this knowing I had a contract job in Florida. She did this well after I had already planned on moving to Florida. So, and the woman now is selling. She's the realtor for my late stepfather's home. And she hasn't had a house sale in the past year. And she's a licensed realtor. Both sisters who filed guardianship papers on me are dependent upon their husbands for income and support. They both married men, at least 10 years older than them, and if they had to survive on their own, they wouldn't be able to do it, in my opinion.
So what exactly now, getting back to my original question, now you came, because this is kind of, I'm trying to formulate this here and try to go from beginning, to the end. So it's kind of hard. So it's kind of hard for me to, figure out the right question here. But what happened to where it was the police, I guess, and a family court and a court-appointed attorney that came to your home. What were the events leading up to that? Where they took guardianship of you. What were the events leading up to that? Let's cover that part. How did this all happen?
Okay, to sum it up, I had been a victim of stalking, vandalism to my car, etc. I am a whistleblower.
Now,
I have a long history.
Now who was
the event?
Do you know who? I hate to interrupt you, but do you know who the vandalism was from? Do you know who did that? Was that ever found out?
I can prove certain things. However, let me just say that the advice of my employers here in Florida, I have numerous witnesses who witnessed things, and my employers said, contact the media, which I did on December 6th, and they were following my story, and on in December. Also, the Collier County Sheriff's Office opened up a domestic violence case on me. A victim advocate was working with me, and I was, I had a stalking log and was documenting.
Well,
who was doing the stalking?
I mean, who was doing the stalking, and why were they stalking you?
Like I said, I've been a whistleblower. I can mention one case in particular from the years 2012 to 2014. I was a per diem correctional nurse at the Naples Jail Center. I witnessed a 20-year-old male inmate being abused by a male nurse. I reported it to my director of nursing and to the health services administrator. I feared for that. I truly did, and there were other witnesses as well. I wrote up an affidavit, had it notarized. The supervisors, in my opinion, were not following up on the case, so I made out a police report. Well, next thing I know, the health services administrator pulls me into a room where there's no cameras and no audio recording and basically told me that what I did by going to the police was wrong.
Wait a minute, you're a mandatory reporter.
Correct. And right after that incident, the retaliation, you know, the vandalism to my car, whatnot, intensified.
I mean, this is crazy time. I mean, you've got people from. You've got people from your work. You're blowing the whistle from people where you work, and you've got your sister all on top of you. I mean, what the hell? I mean, you've got the entire world against you.
It seems like it, but like I said, I try to keep calm as I can and look at everything objectively. And the way I think, I have to have 100% proof before I accuse somebody of something or say something. I don't assume.
Right.
I don't make false accusations. I don't jump to conclusions. I need facts.
Okay, so when did you blow the whistle on this male nurse abusing this male patient? What year was that?
My affidavit that I have right in front of me is dated October 1st of 2012.
Okay, so that's 2012. Now, when did your stepfather pass away? What year was that?
He passed away on December 1st, 2015.
Okay, so he passes away. Okay,
like
so
said,
he passes away on December.
Like I said, I've been a whistleblower in Illinois and in Florida.
Right, so that was three years beforehand. Okay, so then your sister, she files files some kind of complaint that you killed your stepfather. Now, what happened? You had to go through several psychological exams. What happened with all of that? Explain that part, right after your stepfather died and what your sister did.
I'd be happy to explain that, but first of all, I want to say one thing about total guardianship. In many cases, guardianship works beautifully. If somebody has, dementia, Alzheimer's, they're elderly, they have no family member, they're alone. A lot of guardianship cases work beautifully, and there's no problem. There's honest lawyers, honest judges, whatever. But in abusive guardianships, This is a $4 trillion a year racket in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Florida alone, I am only one of 55,000 wards of the state who have been stripped of all of their civil rights.
Right.
My goal is to educate that this can happen to anyone. This is happening to children who have are victims of divorce.
Trust me on this. Yes. I cover that.
Now,
and you know, one thing
now,
I hate to interrupt you here, but one thing that I really, truly, honestly hate is the term ward of the state. I hate that term more than anything that you could. I mean, I hate that term. You're not a ward of the state. You are a human being. The state does not own you. You understand? I mean, this is what really pisses me off. I hate that. I hate to cuss, you know, but I mean, it just really drives me nuts. I cannot stand that term, ward of the state. We're human beings, for God's sakes. We're not wards of the state. The state doesn't own us. And yeah, I'm very familiar with Florida. I cover CPS all the time on this program, and I hate CPS. And CPS hates me. And they have tried several times to try to kick me off of Blog Talk Radio, and they have failed every single time. And they're never going to do it. They're never going to do it. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight these people. I can't stand these people. But no, that's this whole ward of the state. That's got to go away. There's no such thing as that. Ward of the state? I mean, think about that. That's slavery. Am I wrong?
You're 100% correct. It's legalized modern day human slavery and ownership.
Yeah. Unbelievable. No, but I mean, I just... No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. The family court system, as you know, with CPS, preys on families that have dysfunction or conflict.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now even people going through divorce, spouses are given guardianship to pit one spouse against the other. So this
right.
is crossing all age brackets. And until it's my belief that until every family unit in America is affected, people are not going to believe that this truly exists.
Well, there is a war on the family unit. I believe that 100%. Absolutely.
However, for example, wards of the state make up less than 1% of the population. That's where the problem lies. However, it's increasing every day with the baby boomers aging and with the predators of the court realizing that they can take advantage of people and get away with it because there's little to no accountability. Problem's only going to get worse. And
there's a lot of money involved in it, and taxpayers need to understand that this money is coming from you, the taxpayer, and the states are balancing their budgets by your tax dollars by stealing people and putting them as wards of the state. The taxpayer needs to understand that, and I'm really upset in this election that that never came up, and I knew it wouldn't, but it should have. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it should have come up in this election, but, you know, whatever. But
And really, my story is not any more bizarre than most of the stories I have heard and witnessed, over the past 283 days, advocating not only for myself but for other wards and their families and working with other advocacy groups. The
right.
stories are eerily the same. The predators of the court prey on a family that has conflict. And
right.
the court blows everything up out of proportion, makes
mm-hmm.
mountains out of molehills. Well,
mm-hmm.
there's false accusations just galore. And when you're trapped in probate guardianship, instead of being innocent until proven guilty, you're guilty and have to try in vain to prove yourself innocent.
Exactly.
And the odds of doing that are not in your favor. One has a higher probability of getting struck by lightning than getting out of a guardianship.
Now, are you still in? Are you still in this guardianship?
Yes, with zero civil rights whatsoever, nothing, and I'm held hostage.
Can you work?
I'm not allowed. I have, basically, I've been stripped of everything. I have no.
How the hell do you survive? How do you earn a living? How do you survive?
By my wits, my intelligence, with the motivation and support I get from my friends and other advocates, and the way I survived, the way I survived from January 22nd, the day I was served the papers, until April 23rd of this year, was by pawning personal items for food and for my blood pressure medicine. It's been unbelievable.
So,
and,
you're able to live in an apartment or a house of some sort, right?
Oh, no. So I was in, what had happened was in October of 2015, I had been on a waiting list to get in an emergency domestic violence shelter because of, you know, the stalking and that sort of thing, and my employers were aware of it. And in Naples here, the shelter is always filled to capacity.
Yeah.
But when the two employers and the staff and administration at the school I was going to witnessed with their own eyeballs the stuff that was going on with me, they helped speed things up. I got into the shelter on January 15th of 2016. Before I was served these papers. So I'm living in a domestic violence shelter while vacating my condo because the administrators and advocates at the shelter, they had been, and I had been getting assistance since 2011, 2012. You're not safe, you know, working as a nurse. Anybody can look up your license. We're going to help you change your name. You need to change occupations. That's one of the reasons I was in a computer program. We're going to help relocate you somewhere in the United States. But since 9/11, you can't change your social security number. So anyway, I'm in a shelter. The court-appointed guardian, and I'm going to mention her name. I was thinking, should I mention this person's name or not? And after careful consideration, I'm going to mention it because I don't want anybody to suffer at the hands of this woman. What I told you that a Collier County Sheriff's Officer came to the door on January 22nd along with a court-appointed attorney. And the court-appointed guardian, her name is Kathy E. Johnson, NCG, which means she's a guardian. She's also a licensed realtor in Naples, and she owns her own business called Easy Solutions Bookkeeping Incorporated. And the reason I mention this woman is she's a criminal. Her behavior towards me has been totally felonious. I became suspicious of her due to her behavior, constant harassment, constant texting me while I'm at a shelter. She knew where I was. Constant texting me 24/7. I'd be getting text messages in the middle of the night. The harassment was unrelenting. I didn't have access to my own money. I told you I had to pawn items for food. At the time, I had my car. I had to pawn items for gas money so I could go to school.
Here's what we need to know.
She has an arrest record.
Right. No. But what were the events leading up to where your sister? Now you had to go through several psychological evaluations of sort?
Not
what happened with that? Why did, well, why did that happen? I know, but I mean,
right.
Why did that happen? How? What
in
were the
pit,
events
right.
leading up to that? Why
okay.
did that happen?
The events were the statements they made to a Naples lawyer who drew up the guardianship papers. My sisters claimed I'm totally nuts. They've accused me over the years of having just about every psychiatric illness in the DSM manual. So when anybody is handed papers saying they're a ward of the state, according to probate law, you have to have capacity examinations, three of them. As a registered nurse over, you know, since 1981, doing case management for home health care companies, from doing psychiatric nursing, working at the jail and whatnot, I know what a capacity exam looks like. I've done them on several patients and clients. They haven't changed in 30 years. It's a screening tool to see if an individual requires like housekeeping services or social worker, psychiatric services, possible nursing home placement, ALF placement, further testing to see if somebody truly has dementia or referrals, possible referrals to psychiatrists or whatever. So I'm scheduled to have three exams. The first two exams are conducted in my court-appointed attorney's office. One of the exam members is an 80-something-year-old retired OB/GYN. The other examiner is a 40-something-year-old social worker. Both, I later find out, are totally affiliated with the court. The 80-year-old guy worked as a physician at Naples assisted living facility, and the other one was involved as a social director at a Naples rehabilitation center.
But how can they actually do this to you just because of because your sister just accused you, and that's it? That's all it took was an accusation.
It's not me. Anybody on the face of the earth, what United States, can be accused of something, and they're trapped in guardianship. They, like I said, in this division of the court, you're guilty and have to prove yourself innocent, whether or not the allegations are false. So what was totally illegal about the two exams, they were first of all done in a lawyer's office. Second of all, there was no physical exam. Third of all, the three of them are present. Fourth, there is no questions like what date it is, what, you know, who's the president of the United States, no memory testing to see if you can remember a sequence of numbers or objects, no, for example, drawing, trying to copy pictures to see if the eye-hand coordination is off or if there's a problem with, memory and drawing objects or whatever. It's a screening tool. None of these criteria were used. The third exam was done by a woman who worked at the same hospice company I worked at as a case manager, but she had left to work for the court. Guess where that exam was done? At a local McDonald's. Lasted 20 minutes. She didn't ask anything relevant to what a capacity exam entailed. I knew from day one that
What did your employers say? Did your employers ever come to your defense? Did they fire you? What did your employers say?
They tried in vain to help me. They tried in vain to help me. And they knew because of the court orders that they were powerless.
So you had doctors and you had nurses on your side, right?
Yes. But in probate guardianship, people are denied due process. For example, one of the rights that was taken away, I, as an incapacitated person, I do not have the right to make informed decisions regarding my right to sue or assist in the defense of suits of any nature against me. I have no rights. I am like, it says, if I were buried 6 feet under, I'm treated like a dead person.
You're living now in a domestic violence shelter.
No. That's a whole other story. So then I'm being harassed by this woman, and being a correctional nurse and witnessing criminal behavior, I look her up. And in the Collier County Public Court Records search, there's Kathy E. Johnson, NCG, twice arrested for DUI and or drugs while a court appointed guardian. I'm like, a felon? She was charged with a felony initially. It's like, this woman takes a 40-hour course and now is my slave master? So I'm working with the advocates and administration at the domestic violence shelter in Naples, and Kathy Johnson figures something's up because she knew I had been taking my vehicle to go to other lawyers to get advice. And so she kept calling the cops to come to the shelter to make sure I was still there. So the administration and staff said, you're not safe here. That woman's dangerous. And I said, I know. So on March 1st, I got in my vehicle with the blessing of the people at the shelter and drove in the middle of the night to Pasco County. My goal was to get out of Florida, but I got as far as Pasco County. I stayed at a domestic violence shelter there solely to seek legal advice to, you know, help get me out of this legal situation. And so what Kathy Johnson does is she has the lawyers issue a missing persons report. And, you know, here's my face and everything plastered all over the internet. And I had informed the court and Kathy Johnson and the lawyers where I was. I wasn't allowed to give out the physical address, but I gave out the P.O. box number. I said, please send me a money order for gas. Of course she never did. So I was pawning more items for gas and for food. The next thing is the advocates and administration of the domestic violence shelter in Pasco County are harassed by my sister's attorney and Kathy Johnson and my attorney, and the judge orders my car confiscated. There's a writ of bodily attachment on me. And mind you, I have a safe driving record. I haven't had a moving violation since the age of 16. My driver's license was revoked. So then the car gets towed back to God knows where, Naples. And then at night on March 14th, I am forcibly taken in a medical van back to Naples. Now, the administrator, staff, and a lawyer for the Coalition for Domestic Violence in Tampa were working to prevent this from happening to me because the lawyer for the coalition said in their 40-year history, nobody has ever been forcibly removed from a domestic violence shelter before. And they said, we're all mandated reporters. You are totally functioning, totally capacitated. There's nothing wrong with you. I said, I know. So anyway, I'm forced without medical necessity into a locked assisted living facility in Naples. It's at night. I couldn't see the address. I knew the street, couldn't see the address. So the place was a hellhole. As a nurse, I had worked in the projects in the Chicago area, saw the worst living conditions imaginable. This place was filthy. I got sick immediately with asthma and chest pain, ended up calling 911. Long story short, I had contacted a television reporter. I had contacted ACA. I had contacted the Department of Children and Families, Elder Affairs, the works, and reported this facility because they had unlicensed personnel working there as well. The reporter came out, observed everything. He had been following my case faithfully since my guardianship began on January 22nd. I was in contact with him every single day. Oh, by the way, I was pawning money to have a phone. Anyway, he airs the story about I had infected bedbugs too. He airs that story, so it's on TV June 1st. Then he came out, and on March 23rd, I should say, when Mr. Eros from the Department of Children and Families came out to inspect the Vanderbilt Beach ALS, that's how I got Kathy Johnson to agree for me to get out of the Vanderbilt. I said, I want to go into a hotel. And the reason for that is I have some pets, and also because I wanted witnesses around 24/7 and 24/7 camera surveillance for my protection.
I hate to interrupt you here, but in your first marriage, did you have any children? And do you have any children at all?
I have a daughter.
Okay. How old is she by now?
She turned 24 a couple days ago.
Okay. Is she supporting you? Is she helping you? Does she have any kind of relationship with you?
My ex-husband, along with his brother and father, are very wealthy. They own a company in Illinois. And during the divorce, it was a divorce from hell. And to summarize everything, money talked. And also, my ex-husband had spent time in jail for abusing me and everything, so he hated my guts. I think that's safe to say. And so he had his lawyers and judges from Judge Buddies, because he's well-connected. Basically, I was taken for every penny I got. And my daughter went through years of parental alienation. And so I haven't seen her, spent any significant amount of time with her since 2001.
Oh, my God, that's 16 years.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And the 16 years of hell from retaliation to from my ex-husband and his family.
I mean,
and they are
so what,
the two
again, when you have, you know, going back into December, when you had, I guess it was the police and you had a court-appointed attorney, and they stripped
that
your rights.
January 22nd. Mm-hmm.
Okay, did they arrest you, or
no,
what did they
do?
No,
I was just given a wad of papers saying I was a ward of the state, and Kathy Johnson said, oh, we'll be taking everything out of your condo. They right away, you know, seized my bank account, all my assets. Everything I have worked for 30 years is no longer mine. It belongs to the court. Everything.
So then you at some point, I mean, you had to lose your job, right? I mean,
well,
right?
Yes, obviously, when I was served the papers and when my employer found out, oh my God, you were served these papers. So they legally couldn't allow me to work because my right here to seek or retain employment was revoked by the court. So they legally couldn't allow me to work.
So then, I mean, this is just so, I mean, this is just, I mean, this is just crazy time. I mean, you've got it from every angle. Yeah. How did you get into, you know, forgive me, but I mean, this is so complex.
Bizarre.
I mean, it's very difficult to understand. It's very difficult to comprehend. It really is. And I'm doing my best here to try to comprehend this, but nothing is seeming to make sense right now. Nothing. But how did you get to, now you're living right now, you said, in a domestic violence shelter. How did you get to live in that?
No. I told you back on January 15th, I got into one for safety reasons.
Right. But
okay.
I mean, okay, so then where are you living now? And how are you living when you're not allowed to work?
I'm holed up in a hotel. I have been since March 23rd.
Well, okay,
I've been holed up in a
hotel. Who's paying for that hotel? How? You don't work.
My inheritance. I've all the wad of money from my inheritance is going to pay ex-inmate Kathy Jensen, guardian. My inheritance is paying the lawyers. 40% to 60% of the guardian fees alone go to the lawyers and the court and the judges. It's coming out of my inheritance. And get a load of this. Even if this case were thrown out of the court in 2 days and I was told I was free, had all my rights restored, I would be responsible for all of these frivolous legal bills and costs incurred in this case.
It is mind-boggling. I can't comprehend this. I can't make a lot of sense out of this.
Unless they know somebody this has happened to.
I mean, I've heard some bizarre stories, and I've had some bizarre, believe me, I have had bizarre stories on this program, but this one takes the frickin' cake.
Many stories like mine. If you go to Americans Against Abusive Probate Guardianship, they're on Facebook and on the internet. If you go to Families Against Court Embezzlement,
If you are a ward of the state, this is what I don't understand. If you are a ward of the state, how are you allowed to live in a hotel? And you're able to free. I mean, you can walk around the neighborhood, right? You can go to your local McDonald's.
I'm totally independent, totally healthy, but the guardian I have is a total, for saying this, but it's true. She's a lunatic. She has denied me the use of a taxi. She has denied me to purchase a bicycle. I have to beg for every penny of my own money. I'm court ordered to exist and vegetate what's left of my life.
Well, how can they stop you from buying a bicycle? Can they stop you from walking?
Because I have no access to my own
money.
Well,
if you're a ward of the state like this, you should be in some kind of, I don't know, psych ward or something.
Oh, they're trying to put me in one, believe you me. That's what they try. What they try to do is isolate the wards of the state, medicate them, or they do everything to assassinate your character and reputation, and then they steal the estate. They keep people wards of the state. In other words, they keep them hostage until the ward either dies or until every darn penny is gone from the inheritance and estate.
But if you are a ward of the state, you shouldn't. How did they allow you to accept your inheritance?
They don't.
Well, then how are you able to pay for the hotel, like you said? I mean, this is what I know.
I am property, slave, and chattel. I am a piece of property that they control.
You said you're paying from the hotel that you're living in.
It's coming out of my inheritance.
I know, but I mean, how are you allowed to have inheritance if you are a ward of the state? This is what I don't understand.
when somebody's awarded a stake, all of their assets are turned over to the court, and the court basically administers everything. It controls the estate, and I'm part of this estate. I'm no longer a human being. I'm a piece of property, part of the estate, like a home would be, or a car, or stocks or bonds. I am no longer a human being.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, if you are a, like you said, a piece of property, how are you able to pay for the hotel room with your inheritance if you're a ward of the state? It seems like to me that they would take that
inheritance
from you.
It's coming out of my inheritance. And also, now this guardian has filed fraudulent papers trying to commit Social Security disability fraud on. It's unbelievable. I had Obamacare, paying for Obamacare. Somehow, by the grace of God, got the guardian to pay for Obamacare, but I could only have that policy 6 months. So here it is, time to sign up again for Obamacare. Oh, no, we're putting you on Social Security disability. The purpose of that is so the guardian and the court, the guardian, is in control then of my Social Security money.
Yeah,
and
but I mean, if you're a ward of the state and you've got your inheritance, who pays for your hotel room? Do you have to write the check, or does the state write the hotel?
Get a load of this. I don't have the right to receive mail. I don't have the right to pay my own bills. My whole life, every aspect of my life is controlled by Kathy E. Johnson, NCG, and the courts. They decide whether or not, even though I'm a nurse, they make decisions about whether or not I receive medical care, if I receive food, if I can have money to buy clothing.
Who picked the hotel that you live in? Did they pick it, or did you pick it?
I did, because when I snagged the opportunity, when DCF came out to inspect that Vanderbilt Beach place, and the TV reporters were all over the story, by the grace of God, I picked this hotel because I knew it was within walking distance to stores, you know, to get groceries. It was near public transportation because, don't forget, my car had been confiscated, my driver's license revoked. So I wanted to be somewhere where I'd have some mobility, where there were cameras 24/7 and witnesses. So I picked the hotel, and I've been holed up here ever since.
Here's my question. If you're a ward of the state, you're not allowed to have a bank account. So when you walk across the street to a supermarket, how do you pay for that food?
The Guardian opened up a TrueLink Visa account, debit card account in my name. The TrueLink Visa account is designed for guardians. It's designed for people with developmental disabilities like Down syndrome. A lot of Down syndrome people work. They're for people who have dementia, severe Alzheimer's, and the like. So the guardian issues me this card. She'll only put a certain amount of money on it at a time. Mind you, I can't do online shopping. I cannot get cash back. It's total identity theft because every purchase I make is tracked. So she knows where I shop. She knows where I go. It's Big Brother watching you.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, how do you pay for your cell phone?
Oh, God. This woman has denied me phone service over and over and over again.
Yeah, but I mean, the phone that you're calling
bills.
From right now, the phone that you're calling from right now, who pays for that?
I do. I pay for everything. But mind you, this guardian who's in control of my life has a history since day one of not paying my bills. I have had to pawn items to continue to have phone service. I have had to pressure her to pay for my service. I have, when in, like, example, in the place where I got my phone and service, when she showed up there, I publicly educated the staff and the people in the store about what was going on and that this woman won't even allow me to use my own money to get phone service or an iPad service. So by the grace of God, I got it. But now she's threatening not to pay the bills again.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you're also on Facebook, so who pays for that?
Everything I have, I am paying for everything, but the guardian controls the purse strings.
But I mean, I know she controls the purse strings, but I mean,
it's my money. I just don't have the right to spend it how I choose.
But you're able to get a cell phone and internet service. So this is where my confusion is.
If you're fighting on a daily basis for it, I have to fight for every darn penny of mine. I kid you not. Since the inception of this guardianship, there are well over 2,000 text messages between her and me and emails and everything. I have solid 100% proof showing that this woman and the courts are 100% guilty of abuse, neglect, and exploitation, without a doubt. I have been stranded without transportation. Call the guardian. Can I take a cab? Oh, no, won't answer her phone or will just flat out say no. One day I had to walk nearly 10 miles with heavy groceries to get back to the hotel. It's torture. It's pure torture. It's the worst than being a prisoner.
I've never heard anything like this. I got to be honest. I've never heard of anything like this before.
Then I suggest going to the Facebook and Internet sites of Americans Against Abusive Probate Guardianship, FACEUF, NASGA, NASCA. There's Marty Oakley with TS Radio. The Lulu and Robin Show, both are on Blog Talk Radios. There's countless cases across the country just like mine.
Because this is just, I mean, none of this stuff makes any sense to me. None of it. I cannot connect
to the general population either.
I cannot connect any dots into this case at all. I cannot connect any dots.
It doesn't make sense. That's why.
Because here you are, you have no control over your money, but yet you're able to get a cell phone and internet access, but you got to fight for it. That you can't buy a bicycle.
I have to fight for everything I have.
But you go to the store to buy food, and they only put X amount of dollars in there, but you're able to live in a hotel that you don't pay for, but they pay for it.
No, I'm paying for it through my
insurance. I mean, they write the check for it. You don't write the check for it, right?
Right. But you got to realize, too, I have lost 5 clothing sizes, 2.5 shoe sizes, from basically being starved for all these months. 2 out of my 3 meals exist of carbs from the free hotel breakfast. The stress alone is a killer. Walking everywhere in the hot Florida sun, carrying heavy groceries and stuff. The public transportation here is limited compared to cities like New York or Chicago.
But if you're a ward of the state, I mean, how are you? This is what I don't understand. A ward of the state. How are you allowed to live in a hotel?
I know it doesn't make sense. With the money spent on the hotel alone since March 23rd, I could have bought myself a $30,000 brand new car or put a down payment on a condo of my own, invested my inheritance money. My money's not being invested or managed. It's being squandered and stolen from the courts, from the Collier County Court and the court-appointed guardian. They're stealing my money.
Now, do you have an attorney, and is there another court case? I mean, another court appearance coming up? Is there anything coming up with that?
Oh, yeah. Another thing, I tried in vain to get my court-appointed attorney fired because he wasn't responding to emails or my phone calls. He did nothing to advocate on my behalf. The judge even wrote an order saying he was going to replace this guy and never did. Now, on November 3rd, I am being held in contempt of court. Kathy Johnson is intent on getting me charged with contempt of court. And the reason you and the general population don't hear about cases like mine is the goal is to isolate the ward, to shut them the hell up, excuse my language. By doing that, they put them in nursing homes or assisted living physicians, drug them up so that they're sleeping their life away or can't utter a coherent sentence. And then the money is stolen, you know, and depleted from the estate. And in 2 days, I am supposed to go to court, and I'm praying to God that doesn't happen to me.
This is just, I mean, I've never heard of anything like this at all. Nothing makes sense in this story. I don't get any
hidden,
of it.
It's called the hidden epidemic. In fact, in April, over a weekend, two journalists and the cameras came to get my story, and they've gone across the country getting other people's story. Tom Wright, producer, who helped expose the Amanda Knox situation, and he helped free her from that legal situation in Italy that she was in. Anyway, he's a producer of an upcoming documentary called Elder Abuse, The Hidden Epidemic. That documentary, which is going to be a full-length featured Hollywood film, which is due to be released early 2017, that documentary is going to expose this. It is a hidden epidemic. This has been going on in our country for the past 30 years. And the reason people don't hear about it, not only are the wards isolated, but the courts also issue cease and desist orders, restraining orders against family members who try to speak up on the ward's behalf. There's gag orders issued where advocates or families are not allowed to talk of the case in public. I know of one very well-known national advocate that has a lifetime ban now on doing advocacy work. The founder of AAAPG got a cease and desist order from the court here simply because he was advocating for me and made a couple phone calls to the court and was trying to help me. So the courts throughout the United States are shutting people up legally by threatening them with lawsuits and whatnot.
Yeah, that is true. That is absolutely true. But, I mean, I still got to go back. I mean, none of this makes any sense to me. You have all of a sudden one day you get a court-appointed attorney and they tell you that – now, when they came to your house, you had – I guess it was a court-appointed attorney and the police, and they said you have no more rights. What did you have to do? Did you have to move out of your house or your condo at that time and then move into a hotel?
Okay, what happened was Kathy Johnson that ex-inmate is my slave master. She arranged for everything to be moved out of that condo in one fell swoop. I have no photographs of my life. I have no nothing. All I have access to is what's in this hotel room. That's it. She's the owner of every single thing I've worked for over 30 years. She is the owner of the storage locker unit where my stuff was taken. I don't even know if the stuff is still there.
But, I mean, you have a cat and a bird.
They're in the hotel with me.
Right. I mean.
But Kathy and the court own them. This is not my stuff anymore. Nothing about my life is mine. My pets are owned by the court. They could come in here tonight. I could get a knock on the door right now saying, okay, Karen, we're taking you out of here.
How did you get the cat and the bird?
We're taking everything.
But how did you get the cat and the bird if you're a ward of the state?
Oh, God. By the grace of God, I'm allowed to keep them. I've known of several wards throughout the country who have cried because they've lost everything. I mean, and I'm talking even their underwear, everything they own, taken away. There's one woman I know everybody, even the family members who try to advocate for the wards, who try to do things legally and hire attorneys and whatever, they end up losing their homes. They end up living like homeless people. I know one woman who's basically living at a McDonald's. She sleeps in her car because she's trying to get her mother out of a guardianship. I know of a 36-year-old woman with tits who was made a ward of the state, and she's on the run throughout the United States trying to stay one step ahead from these evil guardians.
Well, every ward of the state that I've ever interviewed, and the parents and the family members of wards of the state, when you're a ward of the state, you're not allowed to live in like a hotel and literally to get up and walk around and be free. They got you locked up and, you know.
All right, case in point. That shows you how illegal and fraudulent my case is. I am, several people, advocates and advocacy groups have referred to me as the poster child for guardian abuse.
None of this makes sense to me at all.
It doesn't make sense to me, and I'm living it. It's worse than any nightmare I could ever imagine.
I just none of the dots seem to want to connect. I mean, if you're a guardian of you're a ward of the state, they take control of you. You're not really supposed to be allowed to live in a hotel and walk around. Nor can you have a cat and a bird. This doesn't make any sense.
They know darn well there's nothing wrong with me. They know darn well I don't belong in a guardianship. But do you think they want to admit it?
But what?
And the reason I'm independent is because I'm vocal.
Well, what happened to why you are in a ward of the state to begin with? Now,
simply
what were the events leading up?
And the court.
Okay, you inherited money, and your sister, she came up and said you were crazy. And you went through psychological evaluations. And these psychological evaluations all said you were crazy. Okay, but at that point,
based on no factual evidence whatsoever.
Okay, but how can they take you from your condo and force you to live into a hotel room of your choice? I mean, none of this.
I know,
you see what I'm saying? None of this.
No, it does not.
This doesn't make any
sense. I agree with you 100%. It does not make sense. The reason I'm in a hotel is because the guardian and the court got caught. I exposed an assisted living facility publicly. The place was investigated. Television reports aired on it. I exposed that this facility should not even be licensed, and plus the residents weren't even being well cared for. The court had to save face somehow. They knew darn well they couldn't throw me into another locked up hellhole. So somehow, like I said, by the grace of God, I got in this hotel, and I've been here ever since. Now, I said they wanted